Father, we give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory because you and you alone are worthy. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus. It is because of him that we can have relationship with you. It's because of him that we can have freedom from sin. It's because of him that we can have eternal life. God, we thank you for the hope of eternal life. We thank you for the resurrection of the dead. Lord, we thank you that you are God and you are God alone. Lord, as we stand here today worshiping you, we pray that our worship is pleasing and acceptable to you. God, we pray that our worship doesn't just stop right here, that we continue to worship you as we open up your word, and that it doesn't even stop there, that we continue to worship you when we go back to our lives, to our homes, to our workplaces, to our friends and families. May we worship you with everything that is in us. May we worship you with our actions, with our words, even with our thoughts, Lord God, because you and you alone are worthy. So once again, Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for who Jesus is. We thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the freedom that we have in you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we began this morning and we begin to sing, He Reigns, tears come to my eyes because I realize the truth of that song, the truth of that statement, that God, he really does truly reign. I love the line in that, from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful that are gathered underground. It doesn't matter what the church looks like, as long as the church keep its eyes fixed and focused on Jesus, he's reigning. If you had the best day ever yesterday or the worst day ever, you know what? Our God, he's still reigning. If you're excited and celebrating Father's Day right now, he is reigning. If you're sad and frustrated, and this is a difficult day for you, he still continues to reign. Our God reigns, and he is good. So remember that truth today. No matter what your situation, no matter what the day looks like, no matter what the week looks like, our God reigns. As Denny prayed this morning, we want to continue to be praying for the families that have experienced great loss, great pain this week. But through it all, we know that we'll see our brothers again one day. And through it all, we know that our God, he is still in control. No matter what may come, he is in control. And so we can rest in that. Well, this morning, we are doing part two of our series in John chapter 6. This is part two of the Bread of Life. And so I would like you to open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus, right? Because that makes sense, huh? It really does. We'll get to back to John 6 in a few moments, but in order to really understand this chapter, in order to really appreciate this chapter, we need to go to the Old Testament. So we got Genesis, then Exodus. And in Exodus, it is the story of the Exodus. Duh, right? The exit from Egypt. The Israelites are in chains. They are slaves in Egypt. And God, with a strong and mighty right hand, leads them out of that bondage. And in chapter 13, that's where we'll start. In chapter 13, we can see that the Lord has brought plagues down on Egypt. We can see that the Lord has now loosened the chains. And the Israelites are beginning to move from Egypt out towards the promised land. And in the midst of doing all this, in Exodus chapter 13, verse 8, it says this, "You shall tell your son on that day, it is because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt." Then a couple of verses later, we get verse 14, "And when in time to come your son asks, 'What does this mean?' You shall say to them, 'By a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt.'" What a good word right here for Father's Day, that in time to come, your kids will be old enough to ask questions. And all the parents said, uh-huh, right? We all know that why it comes. And you can never satisfy the why question. You know that, right? And here, God is telling the Israelites, in time to come, your kids will ask you, Why do we do this thing called Passover? Why do we celebrate these various institutions? What does this mean? And the Lord wants the parents, wants the fathers to know you have a responsibility to tell your kids about what God has done in your life and in the life of his people. And so it starts off there. We see this great word, tell your kids what God has done. And then the rest of the chapter tells us about a pillar of cloud and fire. God is leading his people out of Egypt, and he is literally right there in their midst. In the daytime, there is this pillar of cloud that goes before them, and they know, okay, the cloud is moving. Let's follow. At night, it's a pillar of fire, and they say, okay, the cloud has rested, so we can make camp. God is literally directing them. He is literally going before them, and it's an exciting time. And then they come to this Red Sea. And they get to the shores of the Red Sea, and the people start to do what they do best, and that's moan and groan and grumble and complain. And they say, Moses, why did you lead us out of Egypt? We're going to die here on the shores of the Red Sea because we can't go forward. There's no boats. We don't have Adventure Outfitters here to get us kayaks. There's no way to go, and the Egyptians are hot on our heels. The Egyptians are coming to kill us. So Moses, why did you lead us here so that we could die? And this incredible thing happens. God literally splits the sea in two. And we watch the people go over on dry land. And not only that, it closes behind them and the pursuing Egyptians are destroyed. God once again has taken care of his people. He once again has provided for them. And so not only do these people get to see God free them from slavery, they get to see God save them up close and personal, and they see God continuing to be true to his promise of getting them to the promised land. Chapter 15 is this beautiful song that Moses gives us. And then we get to chapter 16. And we hear this phrase, bread from heaven. If you have the bold letters at different passages, mine in my Bible says bread from heaven. And right here, I want to take a pause and we'll go back to last week. If you can remember that far, Jesus says that phrase, I am the bread of life. And then later on in the chapter, which we'll see more today, he says, I am the bread come down from heaven. And so now, if you're following along, you understand why we're in Exodus, because the two things are connected. But that phrase, the bread of life, who has come down from heaven, I want to pause for a second and think about the implications of that. Before we continue on in Exodus, before we go back to John, let's just think. Jesus is God. Jesus was not begun. Jesus eternally existed. He was not created. He was creator. Jesus, second member of the Trinity, in heaven, in perfect paradise, came down to earth. And in John chapter 1, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's that incredible, incredible, wonderful mystery of the fact that Jesus is 100% God, 100% man. One person, two natures. And he did that for us. So what does that mean? It meant that Jesus, as a kid, would have fallen and scraped his knee. It meant that Jesus would have gotten tired. We know he got tired. Why? Because oftentimes in the Gospels we see, what does he do? He goes away, gets away from the crowd, and tries to find rest. And sleeps. He's with the disciples and they're in a boat and there's a storm. And the God-man falls asleep. Jesus would have hungered. He would have thirsted. We read about Jesus being in the wilderness, being tempted. And that is an incredible thing because the book of Hebrews tells us that he has endured everything that we would endure. It is incredible to think that Jesus was tempted in the same way we were tempted, yet was without sin. So when we say the bread of life who came down from heaven, think about that for a moment. The bread of life experienced hunger. The living water was thirsty. God the Son died on a cross for us. Isn't that incredible? Does that make any of you just kind of dazed and confused? Does that make any of you want to weep? It makes me want to just break down when I realize how much my God loves me, what He gave up for me, that He came and lived a sinless life, something I could never, ever, ever do. Lived that sinless life, perfectly pleasing God, and went to the cross. We just sung it. We just sung it. What did He do? He took on our sins, and He took on the wrath of God while He hung on that tree. For you and for me. He didn't stay that dead. He rose again from the grave, defeating sin and death, giving us that freedom from sin, restoring that relationship with God, and giving us His righteousness, His right standing with God. What a good Savior we have. So why are we in Exodus? And we're talking about Jesus, and we're talking about the bread who came down from heaven. Why are we in Exodus? Because something is about to happen here in Exodus chapter 16 that I think will inform our understanding of John chapter 6 even more so. So here they are, they're in the wilderness, and the whole, verse 2, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people said, "Would that we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us into this wilderness to kill us, this whole assembly, from hunger." I told you the people of Israel are good at grumbling and complaining, whining, and they're not far from who we are either. Let's just remember that. So here they are, they're in the wilderness, and they are grumbling, and they said, "It would have been better if we would have just died in Egypt, in chains. It would have been better if we would just passed away there, because at least we could have died next to the meat pots, next to the bread. We weren't hungry. God could have just ended it real quick for us. It would have been great, but now my tummy's rumbling. And this is just really uncomfortable." And here, we need to pause and think, what a gracious, merciful God. It's multiple times a day where I thank God that I'm not God, because in this situation, I know exactly how I would have handled it. Would have been over, right? All right. Sounds good. But God, being merciful and gracious, He hears their whining, He hears their grumbling, and instead of responding how you and I would have responded, He graciously provides for them. What does He do? Verse 4, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you.'" They're whining, they're grumbling, they're not appreciating the Lord. They're not thanking God the Father for all that He's done for them. And what does God do? He says, "In response, I'm going to continue to provide for you." Wow. What a good God. What a loving Savior. So He says, "I'm going to rain bread down for you." Let's jump down to verse 13. "In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost, on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as you can eat. You shall eat and take one omer, it's about 2 liters, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his own tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. And whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, let no one leave any of it over till the morning. But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning. And it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them, as I would have been too. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. What's happening here? The Lord says, you need to go in the morning and gather this manna, this bread from heaven. You need to gather it, and as much as you can eat, you won't find yourself lacking. If you gather a little, you won't lack. If you gather too much, you won't have too much. But if you gather some and your intention is to say, I want to provide for myself, I need to somehow think ahead and be smarter than everyone else. So I'm going to gather what I need for today. I'm going to gather a little bit more and I'm going to put that over here and I'm going to save it for later. Eli, all right, here's your Eli story. He oftentimes will eat snacks in the car because that's what children do. And he'll eat a snack and then it'll be time for me to get him out of the car. And he's still eating the snack. And what does he do? He puts it in his little cup holder, or even grosser, he like sticks it down underneath all the cushions on his car seat. And I always ask him, why do you do that? Don't you want to eat that now? No, I save it for later. And it's gross. It's really nasty. There are times, actually, where I'll look in the rearview mirror and I'll see he's snacking on something and I'll realize I didn't give him a snack to snack on. And so I ask him, what are you eating, buddy? And he'll let's say, today, it's chicken nuggets. When's the last time we had chicken nuggets? I don't know. I'm thinking to myself, it's probably been about a week since we had chicken nuggets. That's gross. I think you should get that picture in your head when we read this passage and we think about the Israelites who are hoarding the extra manna for the next day, because the Bible says that it grew worms and it stank. It was gross. Why? Because God says, I'm going to provide for you today, and I need you to trust me that since I provided for you today, I'm going to provide for you tomorrow too. That's a good God, isn't it? He says, I know you're not really capable of trusting me, so I'm going to make you trust me. Some of us can understand that. Then, this is a difference though. Verse 22, on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers, so 4 liters each. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, he said to them, this is what the Lord has commanded. So on the sixth day, you're supposed to gather twice as much. And why? Because tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over lay aside and keep till morning. So they laid it aside, kept it till morning, as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink. Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. So on the Sabbath, manna doesn't come down from heaven. You need to get ready the day before, prepare it as the Lord commanded, and know that he has provided not only what you need to eat, he's also provided something that you may not normally do, and that's rest. We keep reading on, and it says that some people went out on the Sabbath to go gather, and there was nothing there. Why? Because the Lord commanded, he instructed, he said, no, today you need to rest. Today you need to honor this day as a Sabbath. Today, don't work. Don't go gather the manna, because there is no manna. Because I gave you twice as much yesterday. Again, God is teaching the Israelites to trust him. He's teaching the Israelites that he has a plan and he supplies for all of their needs. He's reminding them that he is in control. And doing things his way, following His commands is the only way, is the best way. Because God knows what we need even before we know it. He knows what we need even when we think we know what we want. We think we know what our life should look like, don't we? We think we know what the plan should be. We think we understand our deepest needs. But we don't. We know what we want. We're really good at what we want, aren't we? We're really good at that. And our culture has really helped us with that. Amazon has this incredible thing called a wish list. So you don't even have to buy anything. You just scroll through and you click and you say, I wish for that. I want that. And somehow, magically, a loved one, they can see it. And they go, wow. They apparently want that. So I'll get it for them. They don't have to know you anymore. They just need to be able to know the link that you send them. We're good at knowing what we want. We're not so good at knowing what we need. But God, thankfully, being the loving, incredible creator, savior, sustainer that He is, He knows what we need, and He's not so concerned about what we want. Because what we need is more of Him. So let's now turn to John chapter 6. We left off last week, and Jesus is explaining what the bread came down from heaven is. He's explaining that if you were to have this bread, if you were to have this eternal life-giving bread, that you would never hunger ever again. And the people respond, Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, in verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. That's comforting, isn't it? All who come to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that He has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. What a great promise. What a great hope that we have. In the Bible, we use that word hope, and you got to know that word hope. It doesn't mean a wishing. It doesn't mean a crossing your fingers and just thinking really hard about something. In the Bible, when we talk about hope, we talk about expectation. In the Bible, when we say hope, we talk about something that we know will come, and we are expecting it, and we are waiting excitingly for it to happen. And so the hope that we have in Jesus, as He just tells us right here, is that anyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. He will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about Him because He said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? Isn't this the kid that we saw scrape his knees? Isn't this the guy who Mary and Joseph left in Jerusalem at the temple? We talked about him. Isn't this the guy from Galilee? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they who all be taught by God, everyone who has heard and learned from God comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Here's the Exodus connection. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that the one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Jesus does a lot there. He explains to them that in the Old Testament, their forefathers, they ate the manna in the wilderness, and they were sustained for the day. They continued to wander around the wilderness for 40 more years, and they continued to grumble and complain, but yet they still were sustained by the Lord, by this manna that he sent down from heaven. But it was temporary. Like most things in the Old Testament, it is a picture of what is to come. Like most things in the Old Testament, it is temporary. Like the bread that they are eating, the manna that has come down from heaven, it is a foretaste of what will come. A temporary picture of the eternal life that Jesus will one day provide in himself. So Jesus says, your forefathers, they ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. They were sustained for a time, but then they still died. But yet I, being the bread that comes down from heaven, being the bread of life that comes down from heaven, now I offer something bigger. Now I offer something better. Now I offer something eternal. Jesus isn't talking about this physical life anymore. He's talking about spiritual life. And in the Old Testament, the Israelites were set free from the physical bondage of Egypt. That's why we started all the way back in chapter 13. God set them free from Egypt. And they were sustained for a time. Here in the New Testament, Jesus sets us free from the bondage of sin. And he sustains us forever. All who look on the Son have eternal life. All who put their trust in the bread of life will never be hungry ever again. And you're sitting here and saying, my tummy's rumbling. I got to get to that pancake breakfast. Well, Jesus isn't talking about physical things now. He's talking about spiritual. And when I say that God provides for our needs, I need you to know that our greatest need is spiritual. Every single one of us, I've said this so many times, and I'll say it so many more times, we are sinners by nature and by choice. And so therefore, that means that our greatest need in this life is spiritual. Our greatest need in this life is a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. He offers eternal life. How silly would we be to reject him? And maybe you're sitting here saying, amen, I have not rejected him. When I was 7 years old, I prayed that prayer with my mom or dad. And yeah, great. What's God doing in your life today? Or what are you allowing God to do in your life today? Because the incredible thing is, we can have that eternal life. We can have that bread of life. And yet we could still live as though we are rejecting the eternal life that he gives us. When we start to focus on our wants, on our plans, on our desires, rather than what we need, rather than what he offers, rather than what he freely gives, we cannot be like the Israelites in the Old Testament who are grumbling and complaining. Because here's the crazy thing. We didn't even get there. But if we would have kept reading the book of Exodus, you know what the Israelites start grumbling and whining and complaining about? Not the fact that they're hungry, because God's provided for their need. God's given them a manna from heaven. They're not complaining that they're hungry anymore. You know what they're complaining now? This manna. It's just kind of boring. This manna, this incredible miracle food that comes down and just magically, miraculously appears. Yeah, it's just not tasty enough for me. You know, I'm just kind of bored of God and how he's decided to provide for me. What wicked people. And I don't say that lightly. Because I also say, once we start saying, oh, this God, he's provided for me time and time again. He's given me eternal life. He's done all these things. But, he's just kind of boring now. I don't see the pillar of cloud or the pillar of fire anymore. It's just kind of boring. This bread of life that has come down from heaven, yeah, he's great, but I got some really great plans happening. I got some really great things in the works. Let's not get there. Let's not be wicked people in that way. Let's take what the Lord has offered us. Let's thank him for giving us way more than we deserve. Let's praise him for the salvation that he has given us in Jesus. Let's eat of the bread of heaven, the life that he's given us, and let's live as though we're alive. Let's let the world see that we are people who live. We are people who are alive spiritually. The world should see us and say, wow, what's in their nutritional diets? Because I want some of that. They seem really spiritually healthy. I think I want some of that. Jesus, the bread of life who came down from heaven for you and for me. Let's fully embrace the life that he gives us. Amen? Father, thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for Jesus, the life that he gives us, the hope that he brings us. Lord, we thank you that you are a good and loving and gracious and merciful Father. We thank you, Lord, that you supply all of our needs. We thank you that you are patient with us. We thank you that you are merciful and gracious with us. Lord, would you help us to not sin against you? Would you help us to not grumble and complain when you provide for our needs? Would you help us, Lord, to trust in your plan? God, it's so difficult for us to trust in you, so we need your help to trust in you. Each and every day, Lord, would you remind us that choosing you is better than choosing anything else. Lord, help us to be completely satisfied in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.